Shall we read the first 8 verses responsively, please? Luke chapter 18. I'm reading from ESV, but whatever translation you're reading, you're reading the Word of God. So pay attention to the words, and then we'll meditate on this. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Verse 2. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in a city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice and again against my adversary. Verse 4. For a while he refused, but after he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Verse 6. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Verse 8. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Father, we come to thy presence in the name of your Son. May Holy Spirit may have full control over us. Speak to us, Lord. May the blood of Lord Jesus may cover your people. Let no power of darkness, let no evil may hinder your people from listening to thy word. Thy word is like water that you may wash your people with thy water. Thy word is like a double-edged sword that you may cut asunder that what is not right in our lives. Thy word is like a hammer that you may shape us into the very image of your Son. We thank you. We thank you. Fill us, O Lord, with your Spirit that we may have the wisdom and revelation from above. Empty me of my words. That you speak to me and speak through me. That your people, let your name alone be glorified and your people be blessed and be edified this morning, Lord. I humble myself and count myself as nothing. May thy rivers of the living waters may flow from thy heavenly throne, from this unworthy servant, that your people may be blessed this morning, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we thank and we pray. I'll tell you, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? If the Lord were to come today, can he find faith in you is the question. If the Lord were to look at you, when you come to him in his presence, this Sunday morning we are all gathered here. When we come to God's presence, you know, the Lord doesn't look at what you wear. The Lord doesn't look at how, you know, what kind of things that you, the makeup you put on or the clothes you wear and how the education that you have, whatever you have. He looks at your heart. He looks at your faith. You might say, yes, will the Lord. I have faith in my life. What is the proof that you have faith in life? Your faith in God. What is the proof that you believe him, that you are living a life of faith? Let me start with an example and then I'll get into the scripture today. All of you have been to Niagara Falls. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you can see from the United States side to Canada side, right? There was a man who was a tightrope walker. He tied a rope from this side to that side. Without any support, with just a balance in his hand, he started walking on that tightrope. People were scared to look at him because some would not even look at him because they were thinking that, you know, if he falls, he will not survive. But that man, holding a stick in his hand, he balances himself to walk and come to the other side. Everybody clapped his hands, you know, blindfolding himself. Listen carefully, please. And he asked, how many of you believe that I would go to the other side, blindfolded again? Everybody raised hands. But he asked one question. Is there anyone who will be willing to sit on my shoulders? I will take you to the other side. Would you please come forward? Not a single person came forward. A small kid came, small child. He instructed the child, you will not move, just close your eyes, sit on my shoulder. That man took that child, slowly, step by step by step, with his eyes closed, with his completely blindfolded, with stick in his eyes to balance the child on the shoulder. He reached the other side. Everybody clapped. And he again said, will there be anybody who will come to the other side with me? Nobody came forward. He said, you all believe that I can go, but you all believe, do not believe enough to entrust your, put your life on me, he said. And this child came forward because he is my son. He knows, whatever the cost is, that I will not drop him. Today, if you are a child of God, a Christian's life is a life of faith. And if you do not have faith, one day the greatest, you know what is the greatest sin is? I tell you, the greatest sin is not adultery or murder or anything. I'm not saying these are lesser sins. The greatest sin is unbelief. You know, why would people be sent to the lake of fire on that day is because they do not believe his son. They do not believe on what he has done for us upon that cross. The greatest sin is unbelief. But you might say, I have faith. What is the proof that you have faith? Listen carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. You know, Bible clearly says, Romans 1:17. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Can you please show up? I would rather encourage you to use a physical Bible rather than the electronic cousin. What is the electronic cousin? iPhones and iPads and all these electronic gadgets. Read your Bible. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says like this. Romans 1:17, the word of God says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Or the other translations may say, the righteous shall live by faith. If you are a person who is washed by the blood of Jesus, if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, your life shall be life of faith. And this verse, that the just shall live by faith, is quoted three times. It is originally quoted by Prophet Habakkuk. You know, when the times are, I want you to listen carefully, please. When Nebuchadnezzar was coming to attack the kingdom, when everybody was going around, the Lord spoke to the prophet and says, Lord, you are giving up the entire country and the city. What will happen to those who are yours? Entire nation of Israel, there are people who are yours. The Lord gave a statement, says, the just shall live by faith. And those only the ones who will survive. The statement made by Habakkuk, Apostle Paul takes it and tells the entire letter to Romans and says, we are saved by faith. And then if you don't have faith, you're not saved. Listen carefully. Ephesians 2:8 says, we are saved by grace through faith. If you don't have faith, you're not saved. But today we'll examine, what is the proof that you and I have faith? Writing to letter to Galatians, second time it is quoted in the New Testament is in Galatians. This church is trying to live before God, but through works, and say, I do this, God will accept me. If you have circumcision, God will accept me. If somebody says that, you know, you're not a Christian unless you do this, you can clearly say, I'm justified by only by the blood of the Lamb. Do you want to say amen to it? I'm not a Christian because I pray five times a day, or I pray seven times a day. I'm not a Christian because of all this. Because he saved me, I pray. Because he saved me, I worship. Because he saved me, I come to the house of God to worship the Lord. You know, you don't become a Christian just by coming to the church. Even if you come 52 Sundays, you know, a lot of people boast in that. Do not boast in that. You do come to church or come to a prayer meeting because he laid down his life for you. Because of the relationship, we are not doing God any favor by coming. I want you to think about it for a few minutes. Because, and then Apostle Paul writes to Galatians, says, the just shall live by faith. And Hebrews is the third time that statement is quoted. The reason why I'm saying that is this. There are people who fall away, leave faith. There are people who go into apostasy. There are people who at one point will say, there is no God. For that kind of people, he says, the just shall live by faith. Listen carefully why faith is so important. My question today is, you might say, I have faith. What is the proof? Let us look at what the scripture says. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. Here is an incident where the Lord goes out of town one time. And this, the reason why he goes out of town, out of leaving Israel, is to have a retreat with his own disciples. With his own disciples. At that time, something happens. I want you to focus on the Luke 18, the paragraph, the first passage that we read was, the Lord was telling a parable that you always should pray and not faint, some translation says. You always should pray and not lose heart in the context of persistent prayer. The Lord tells a story. We'll come to Matthew 15. Hold on to that and just listen carefully, please. In Matthew 18, the Lord is telling a parable and says, there is a widow to whom who goes to the court and asks the judge, will you not do me justice? And there is a judge who doesn't fear God. You think about, you go to a justice system to find justice. But if there is a judge who doesn't fear God nor respect man, you can expect the least to get an answer or justice from that kind of a person. But this widow is going to him again and again and again. Then that man said, because she is continually coming, I'll give her justice. How much more your heavenly Father, who is a righteous judge, says Psalm 711 and 911. Psalm 711 and 911 says that God is a righteous judge, will give justice to his people speedily. You might have issues in your life, probably a family issue, an immigration issue, or a health issue, or a pain. But if you are a Christian, if you are a true believer, you will live by faith, and your faith is shown in persistent prayer. Persistently, persistently going to the presence of God. My question is this. How often do you wait in prayer? How often do you sit down in prayer? How often do you kneel down in prayer? How often do you seek his face? If you don't seek his face, your problems will remain as problems. And prayer is a proof that you have faith and you believe that God is going to do that for you. Come to Matthew chapter 15. Let me read what the scripture says from verse 21. When Jesus went away from there and withdrew to a district of Tyre and Sidon, behold, a woman, a Canaanite woman from a region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Son of David, my daughter, was severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer a word. And his disciples came to him and begged him, saying, send her away, she's crying. And after us, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she said, she came and knelt down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be done to you as you desire. And your faith has healed. Her daughter was healed instantly. Listen carefully. This is what the word of God says. The Lord healed and then said a statement. Go, your faith has healed. The daughter was healed instantly. Now, you think about this situation. Your faith is shown through prayer. The persistent prayer. The Lord has taken his disciples on a retreat. He goes to Tyre and Sidon, which is part of Canaan. It's not a part of Israel. The Lord is with them to get some time off, relaxation with his own disciples. But this is a Canaanite woman. Some translations say Syrophoenician woman. Some translations say Canaanite woman. But this is a woman who came to the Lord. She asked the Lord, my daughter is demon possessed. Would you heal her? The first response of the Lord. I want you to look at your Bibles, please. The first response of the Lord is, the Lord did not answer a word. You might say, I pray and the Lord doesn't answer my prayer. Second response of the Lord, I want you to look at what the scripture says. When the disciples, she was after the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, why don't you send her away? She is crying and praying after us. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. What the Lord is saying, I did not come for you guys. I only came for Israelites, he said. She came and knelt before the Lord. And then, you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, it is not right for me to take the bread of the children and to give it to dogs, he said. In Telugu, it says kukkapillalu there, meaning little ones. It's not right for me to take the bread that is given for the house of Israel and to give it to outsiders, Gentiles like you. Why does Jesus speak like that? Why is the Lord's response? You know, every time you see the way the Lord deals with people, they come with a question, the Lord doesn't answer the question directly. He always answers the question with a question to find out what is in their hearts. The first response is he doesn't speak. Second, he says, I didn't come for you guys. Third, he says, I can't take, you know, the healing is for the house of Israel. All the miracles, the signs and the wonders that they need to recognize me as the Messiah, as Christ. All the healing is for them. The healing is a bread that is given for the house of Israel. Not for you folks. You know what she said? Her faith was seen in the prayer she made. She said, Lord, I know, but those dogs will eat the crumbs. They won't eat the major, you know, part of the roti. They don't eat the major part of the food that the children eat. But whatever falls from the table, the dogs will come and eat. Then the Lord looked at that woman and said, O woman, great is your faith. It'll be done to you according to your faith. I'll tell you, it will be done to you according to your faith. Can we say the word amen? Because that is a statement of the Lord. Heavens and earth will pass away, but these words will never pass away. It will be done to you according to your faith. But your faith will be seen through your persistent prayer. You might be praying for an issue. You pray for some time. Oh, the Lord is not answering me. Leave that prayer. Oh, I stopped praying about that issue. I see, you know, the Lord gives a deaf ear, you think. Oh, others pray about the same issue. They get answers. We are praying for children. They are praying for children. They have children, but we are waiting. Why is not giving? Now, somebody is praying for a job and they get instantly a job. And we are praying and, Lord, why does it seem like God doesn't give me a job? You see the point? I'm not just telling you the material stuff. Much more will be in the spiritual realm. You ask and you not receive because you don't ask by faith. In prayer, God doesn't see how eloquently you pray, my dear brothers and sisters. In prayer, God doesn't see, you know, would you quote Bible to him? Yes, knowing the word of God and praying is a great blessing. You are praying according to scripture. The Lord doesn't see your Bible knowledge, or God doesn't see your, you know, how good you speak or what flowery language you use. He sees your faith. If he sees that faith. I want to read a couple of verses. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 says the scripture like this. Let me read it for you. Mark 11. In verse 24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe. Oh, this verse has, from this verse came a lot of false teaching. The name it, claim it theology. Oh, I want a big house in the name of Jesus, I'll have it. I want a big car. I claim it in the name of Jesus. That is not what it's saying. Please do not pray that kind of prayer. Automatic answer is the Lord will not hear that kind of a prayer. Do you want to say amen? You know, you say, why? Why does the Lord doesn't answer like that? James chapter 4. James chapter 4 verse 3. I want you to open your Bible and read for you. Because if you go to the house of God, always bring even a notebook and a pen, just like a Bible study. Because the two disciples, my disciples will abide in the word. The true disciples will abide in the word. If you are a disciple of Christ, you take the word of God seriously with a book and a pen. James 4 says like this, you know, you ask and you do not receive. The reason is you ask amiss. Let me read for you. James chapter 4 verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous generation, he says. If you ask with a wrong motive, you will never receive. You ask and not receive. Most of the prayers are unanswered because you have a wrong motive in asking. You do not have faith in asking. But when you come by faith, you know, problems will remain as problems in your life. Unless there is prayer of faith. This woman, she said, even the dogs will eat the crumbs that will fall from the table. With that statement, the Lord was moved. Why was the Lord so harsh to that Canaanite woman? Come back to Matthew chapter 15. Why was the Lord so harsh to that woman? He didn't answer a word. He said, you know, I did not come for you guys. I cannot give it to dogs what belongs to children. Because he wanted to see the faith in her. She was persistent. She received the answer. If you're not persistent in your prayer life, my question is, if you don't spend enough time with him, you don't have faith. We don't have really, you're struggling with an issue, but you don't take it to his presence. You don't wrestle with God. You wrestle with God, that means you have faith that he is able to do it. He's able to give you. The Lord wants to see you wrestle. But we don't have time for God, right? We work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. We have to think about all these things. We have to think about our own lives. But you don't wrestle with God. You don't seek his face. We don't ask him like that. There's no hunger and thirst. Psalmist says in Psalm 42, the sons of Korah write this. You know, as the deer pants for the flowing streams, so my heart longs for you. Christians have forgotten that kind of hurt. If you don't pray for a few hours, it's like a dried up heart. The Spirit of God should bubble in you and ask you. You should yearn for the presence of God. Psalm 63. You know, the psalmist Asaph says like this. My heart longs when I will run and appear before God. Christians don't have that desire. That's why they may say, I'm a Christian, I have faith, and I have, you know, I'm a believer. I tell you, unless you're faith has works, it is a dead faith. James, right, says that in James 2. Many people claim faith, but they don't have prayer life. They don't have that desire, I want to seek the Lord's face. I want to wrestle and receive from him. If you don't wrestle and receive from him, you do not have faith. By the authority of God's word, I say that. Because the Lord said that. When the Son of Man comes, will he find you in faith? That woman, you know, distance is not a problem for the Lord. Her daughter was not there with her. The Canaanite woman came alone to pray for her daughter who is at home. And that child is demon possessed. The Lord said, your faith has healed her. As soon as the Lord said that statement, the demon went away. You come by faith and ask the Lord. Wherever the problem is, it'll instantly go away. You know, people get healed in some other part of the world when people pray from here over the phone. How can that happen? God sees faith here in you and he will answer someplace else. Do you want to say amen for that? Prayer of faith. Your prayer shows whether you have faith or not. Quickly, from Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 8. Shall we look at Matthew chapter 8? Persistently waiting in the presence of God. Persistently waiting in the presence of God. As you turn there, Matthew chapter 8, let me tell you, there was a man called Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee had a young boy who worked with him, a young man whom he was discipling. He was teaching this young man how to share the gospel. They go to a small island. And then the day they arrive in the small island, this thing happens. They're coming on the work of the Lord. I want you to listen carefully. They said, today, as soon as they enter the island, somebody asked, hey, why did you come visit this island? He says, today we have a plan to share the gospel to the entire island. He says, you picked the wrong day. The next 3 days is a festival for a certain goddess in this island. You'll have no opportunity to preach because the whole island will come so that they could, you know, drink and dance and enjoy. And there'll be a huge parade with that goddess. But this young man said, Lord, you sent us here and with your word, with your promise, we are coming. You said, go and we are coming. You'll display your power here. He thought in his heart, and he was praying secretly in his heart, without telling Watchman Nee. You know what this young boy says? He says, we will pray that there will be a torrential rain and you'll have no parade. And the villager said, that islander said, are you crazy? For all these years, we never had any rain. Nothing could stop this goddess of ours. And the forecast doesn't say that there is any rain in the next 2-3 days. There will be no rain, said the islander. And Watchman realized, this young man said a statement of faith because God has sent us here. And there will be rain and there will be no parade. He realized, went into his room, closed. He found a believer's home. He went and he started praying, Lord, you sent us here to share the gospel. If these people are just having a carnival up there, having a parade, and they drink and dance before this goddess, what opportunity will we have to share the gospel? After the praying, the Lord sent us such a rain that afternoon. The forecasters were shocked and the rain stopped. People who gathered, you know, they all gathered for the parade. But the rain was so big, people who came to do the parade were scattered. All of a sudden, the rain stopped. This man stood up and he said, this was a statement we made in the morning. We prayed and God answered our prayer. My Lord, who died, who loves you so much, who died for your sin, there is no God like him. That entire island received the gospel that day because two people had faith. They agreed in prayer. They received what they asked for. If you don't have faith, if you don't ask the Lord, you don't hold on to the promise of God. You know, promises, we sing that. A lot of people don't sing that verse. Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, the blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You might think, oh, those are for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't let anybody tell you. 2 Corinthians 1:20, the word of God says. I want you to read, please. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says like this. This is what the word of God says. Every promise of God finds its yes and amen in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for all the promises of God will find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter amen to the glory, for his glory. You know, every promise of God will find, if you are in Christ, the promises of God are for you. Hold on to that promise. The second incident, Matthew chapter 8. How do you show that you have faith in your prayer life? A centurion, chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof, but only say a word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, when soldiers under me, if I say to one, go, and he goes, and come, he comes, and my servant, do this, he does it. When Jesus heard, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel I have seen such kind of great faith. In entire Israel, I have never seen that kind of great faith. He says, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into utter darkness. And he said to the centurion, Jesus said, verse 13, go, it will be done to you as you believed. And the servant was healed at this very moment. As I've said, his prayer was seen. His faith was seen in his prayer. I want you to think about it for a minute. The Lord said, it'll be done to you according to your faith. Today I tell you, I stand here not to proclaim my word. The words of Lord Jesus are these. It'll be done to you according to your faith. Then what is the praise? What is that great faith? In the same chapter, come to verse 23, please. Verse 23 says, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Followed, and behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. They went and woke him up, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? He arose and then rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even winds of the sea obey him? I want you to think about it for a minute. Centurion came and he prayed. The Lord said, you have great faith. There's another situation. The Lord is with his disciples in a boat. And there is a storm. They are also praying. They are coming and waking the Lord up and said, Lord, wake up, we are dying. Lord rebuked them first. Oh, you of little faith. He stood up and he rebuked the winds. Today the question is, do you have little faith or great faith is the question. Or you might say, what is this little faith and great faith? How do I know whether I have a little faith or whether I have great faith? Listen carefully, please. Centurion came and said, I know you are a man of authority. You speak and things will happen. You have great faith when you realize that God is able to speak to your storm. But little faith. Lord, we are dying, save us. Disciples did not understand that, you know, that the Lord is going to speak to the storm. They did not. They thought somehow the Lord will save. He rebuked them for saying little faith. Great faith looks at what Jesus can do. Little faith can always looks at the focus is on the self. In your problem, my question today is this. Is your focus on Jesus? Is your focus on your problem? If you're focusing on your issue, you have little faith. If your focus is on the Lord, you have great faith. You'll be greatly disappointed if your focus will be only on the face, on the problem. Not only that, this great faith, man, he said, he came and not only his focus was on Jesus, he said, Lord, he recognized the power of the words of Jesus. A lot of Christians don't recognize the power of the very word of God that they read. You might say, what is the power? Give me an example. I'll give you a non-Christian example. India got independence because of the words of Lord Jesus. You know that non-violence movement has its roots in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Three chapters, 107 verses. These are the words of Lord Jesus. Every word, a person lives according to it. An unbeliever took that word. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi wanted to become a Christian. He went to a church. He was thrown out. He says, I like Christ, but I don't like Christians, he said. If it was not for the sake of Christians, he would have become a Christian. But that's no excuse for him to follow Christ. But he took a principle from the scripture. The civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Jr. of this country, you know, when African Americans got equal rights with the rest of the people of this country, he fought for that. You know, when he saw that India got independence, that man contacted Gandhi and asked, what is the root of, you know, he thought that, you know, he can bring freedom through some principle that Gandhi has used. He asked Gandhi, what did you do? He said, read your Bible, he said. This Martin Luther King Jr. is a preacher, he's a pastor. And this man has ashamed by an unbeliever, a non-Christian saying, go read your Bible. He read. He says, one statement. If you have great faith, you'll realize the greatness of God's power of God's word. The centurion came and said, Lord, I know you speak a word. Things will happen. If you have great faith, you'll realize that the words of the Lord has that power to change things. A wayward child, speak to my son, Lord. I know you can speak to my son. If you're going through an issue of health, the Lord spoke and then he healed people. For some, he touched. For some, he made mud and put on the eyes. For some, he just spoke. You know, in this case, he spoke and the person, the servant is at home and he received the healing. I'm not telling you some kind of magic mantra for receive healing. But I'm telling you this. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Now, if you look at the verse there, it says, the prayer of faith will heal the one who is sick would be a nicer translation for us. Whatever translation you look at, or even if you look at the Greek, in James 5, 16 says that the prayer of faith will heal the sick, or will save the sick, not heal the sick. The point there is not that there is no healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. But if you come by faith, the great faith will look at the power of the word of Jesus. The Lord speaks. You know, that is a mark of great faith. You know, little faith? Little faith. These disciples got up and said, Lord, get up and save us somehow. The Lord spoke to the winds. He said, peace, be still. You know what? Who is this man who can speak to the winds? Those who have little faith has no clue of what the power of the words of Jesus are. When the Lord says something and something happens, then they marvel at it. Today I tell you, do you have great faith or do you have little faith? If your focus is always on the problem, you have little faith. That much you'll receive. The man who had great faith. If you ever get to read biographies, if you have a desire to read biographies, read George Mueller. George Mueller was a man at the age of 70 later in his life. But as a young man, before he came to Christ, he was a thief. He used to rob people. One day he was caught and put in jail in Paris. He was put in jail in Paris and then his life changes. God speaks to him. And then when he started his ministry, he made one resolution for himself. He decided out of his own conviction, Lord, I will not ask anybody any money. By faith, you said you told me to do this. By faith, I will do this. One day, the ministry he started was for orphans in England. He started an orphanage. If you ever get to go to England, go visit these kind of places so that your faith will be built up. The men of God who live by faith. This man, one day there was no breakfast. The kitchen staff came and said, today we don't have breakfast for the children. He said, let me pray. You go tell the children to brush, come and sit at the dining table. He says, dining table? We don't have anything to serve. But this man of God said, tell them to come to the dining table. He went and just prayed. By the time the kids washed and brushed and came and sat at the table, this man got up from his prayer, went to the table. All the children sit on the dining table. And he said, put the bowls. And the kitchen staff says, we don't have anything to serve the children. He just put the empty bowls. Once the empty bowls were placed, you know what George Miller said? Let's pray. And if you have food, at least you'll bless the food. And he asked the Lord to sanctify it. There's nothing in the bowl. What do you pray for? Judge Miller said, Lord, we thank you for these empty bowls. You never left us with an empty bowl. You never made these children starve. But we believe that you can provide because it is your promise. And he said, amen. There was a knock on the door. There was a milk wagon going in front of that orphanage, broke down. It was already morning, and then the milk would be spoiled. What would they do with the milk? He couldn't take the milk, the whole wagon. He can't haul the wagon of milk somewhere. There was no tow truck in those days. He said, I will donate this milk to the orphanage. The empty bowls got the milk. You know, all those children in the orphanage have learned from the faith of that man. At the age of 70, George Mueller traveled 200,000 miles without any flight or anything. When he go to from place to place, he would only say, Lord, you're telling me, that's why I'm going. I live by faith. That man has seen blessing after blessing. Every place he would go, people would be saved. You know, because that was a man of faith, he would receive. His prayer life in his diary. A lot of people don't have that habit of writing down what God is doing in their lives. You know, if you're a serious Christian, if you're a true disciple of Christ, you will note down what God has done for you so that you may tell your next generation. If you don't tell your next generation what God has done in you, you're not building their faith. He wrote 50,000 answered prayers. I'm not making this up. This is history. You can read it yourself. I'll close in a couple of minutes. Your faith is only shown in your persistent prayer. Mark chapter 10. Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. From verse 46, they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples. And a great crowd, with a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard this, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Son, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. He cried out to all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. They called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. He threw off his cloak and he sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed on the way. I want to just focus your attention on one verse. Verse 48. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road. People were stopping him from shouting and crying out to Jesus. Should I tell you, you'll find so many hindrances for a prayer. So many hindrances for prayer. Mark this statement and write it down. There'll be a prayer is the greatest battle. If you don't win that battle to battle with your flesh to pray, you lose all other battles. Mark this down. Write it up and so that prayer is the greatest battle. Your prayer with your flesh, pray with the evil forces around. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with the powers and principalities. There are four different enemies that the Ephesians 6:12 says about rulers, the authorities, the present ages of darkness, and then the unseen armies of the spirit realm. He says there are four different kinds. It's a wrestling. Unless you, if you lose that battle of prayer, if you don't have prayer life, you lose every battle. I tell you, on your knees, God declares the victory. And then you receive it when you go see it. Can we say amen to it? I'll give a couple of examples. Jehoshaphat is a story that you read in 2 Chronicles 20. There are three kingdoms coming against him. His kingdom is a small kingdom, a small army. When there's a battlefield about to happen, Jehoshaphat wants to fast and pray. When you have a problem, learn not only as a problem, but make this your lifestyle. Learn to fast and pray. He fasted and prayed. And then the Lord spoke through a prophet and said, you don't have to fight the battle. Go into the battlefield, stand there and start singing. You know, will it not look weird for people to where all the armor go stand in the battlefield and sing? Have you ever seen that kind of scenario? You know, God's ways are higher. They fasted and prayed, God answered. The Lord will fight the battle. While they were singing in the battlefield, the Lord set an ambush. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 23. And he gave them victory. While you pray, you know, every battle that you have, you won't feel. I mean, if it's interview is a battle, you don't feel win the interview going there. First is on your knees, you receive. The Lord says, yes, it's done. If it's you're seeing a doctor for a health issue, if the Lord says, I've healed you, your doctor will only pronounce and says, I don't see anything in the report, you are fine. You want to say amen? Every battle is won on your knees unless you get onto that knees. You read Ephesians 6. You know, it talks about the sixfold armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes ready for the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of the spirit. Wearing all this armor, where would you go? Where would a soldier would go? Tell me. To the battlefield. But if you read Ephesians 6:18, he says, wearing the full armor of God, pray for all the saints. You don't have time to read every scripture. But I'm telling you, the battlefield is the prayer life. There'll be so many hindrances for you to pray. The greatest hindrance, you know what? The Lord mentions that and says, if you cannot forgive your brother, that'll become a greatest hindrance for you. When you stand to pray, learn to forgive others. If you don't forgive others, the Lord will not forgive you. And you will not receive answer for prayer. You know, as a part of, you know, what people call as the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord taught his disciples. As you have forgiven us, our debtors, we forgive. Lord, forgive us as we, it's a great conditional statement, and that's a scary statement. Right? Is that not a scary statement? Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Some translation, debtors. You know, unforgiveness is like a debt before God. If you've never forgiven anybody, today, answer prayer is so many hindrances. Blind Bartimaeus, stop crying. But he said, he called all the more. Learn to forgive people. I don't know if it's your brother or your sister or your uncle or aunt. Then you cannot be a Christian and not be talking to somebody for 10 years. Not be talking to somebody for 5 years. We have enemies that you don't talk to them. That'll be a greatest hindrance for your prayer. There are so many hindrances for prayer. Even how a husband deals with his wife. How a wife deals with her husband. 1 Peter 3:7 says like this. Live with your wife with understanding. You know why? That your prayers may not be hindered. I don't even have time to quote all the full of the scripture there. There are so many hindrances for prayer. Your behavior will become a hindrance for prayer. Your sin will become a hindrance for your prayer. His ear is not deaf or nor his eye dull that he cannot see. But your sins will come between you and God, says Isaiah 59:1. You know, there will be so many hindrances. You know, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayer, says Psalm 66, verse 18. What is hindering your prayer from receiving? You may be praying. But if you have faith, you'll correct yourself. If you have faith, you'll confess to the Lord. Lord, I will talk to that person whom I don't talk. I will forgive that person. I will treat my spouse correctly. I will treat my children correctly. I will treat my boss correctly. Lord, I will set myself right. You, if you have faith, that is, you know, you received righteousness by the blood of Jesus, but you learn to live a righteous life before God. That is what the scripture says. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of God, said Matthew 5:20. Yes, we are made righteous by the blood of Christ, but there is a positional righteousness. That is positional righteousness. But there's a practical righteousness daily that your life before God, if you fight with others and come to prayer, God says, I can't hear that man's prayer. It's like a child going to the father and says, Dad, give me this. The Lord says, I want you to set something right in your life first. He beat up his own brother and comes and says, Dad, I want you to do this. Or what would the dad say? First go apologize to your brother. Come back. Matthew 5:23 says, if you come to give a gift at the altar, remember that as your brother has something against you, not that you have something against your brother. He says, first go reconcile with your brother and then come and offer your gift, he said. Why can't prayer be answered? Because there is no faith. If you have faith, you'll set your lives right. Read Hebrews 11 when you get. You know, faith is the substance of the things, you know, hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. But, you know, the life of the saints. Abel offered by faith. Cain did not offer by faith. Abel's is worship of faith. Enoch is walk of faith. Then Abraham is this obedience of faith. You know, if you have faith, you'll have a lifestyle that shows. You have prayer that shows. When you come to God's presence, God doesn't just see your externals. God sees your heart. Shall we bow? It'll be done to your account of your faith today. Have you not forgiven anybody? Is there still anything hindrance for your prayer? People will become hindrance for you because you have not forgiven. Your spouse can become a hindrance for you. Your child can become a hindrance for you because your prayer will not be heard because of that. And you will not receive. But if you ask by faith,